Praise God. Well, we've been talking about identity, and I want you to notice here in 1 John 5, Father, as we approach your word tonight, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to do it. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding, give us wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We thank you in advance for that, and Lord, I just thank you for the leadership of the Holy Ghost tonight that we can talk about this, that we can learn together in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I have to watch tonight. You guys help me. I want to make sure we get out in time for the children have to go to school in the morning. So, all right, let's look here in 1 John 5, verse 1. It says, "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that beget loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Now, that's not, you do understand that's not talking about the Ten Commandments, right? Because that would be a direct conflict in regard to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you read the word much, you'll see that that's a direct conflict, because he's talking about those commandments that were engraven in stones, that nobody could keep those, and that they were death to people that tried to keep them. He's talking about the commandments of God in regard to the new covenant. So there are commandments. You do understand that, right? But he's not talking about the written list of law commandments that nobody could keep, because that puts you under a lot of pressure that leaves the heart and the spirit out. It's just we don't want to do that. Notice now in verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now, I want to talk to you tonight about overcoming the world. I want to talk to you about how do we overcome the world, what we overcome, how we overcome it. You know, when we're talking about the world, let me just ask you all, when we talk about the world, what comes to your mind? What are you thinking of when we talk about the world? What, Ed? Okay, the world, okay, the globe. What comes to your mind when we talk about the world? The world system, okay, the world's way of doing things, right? Somebody else, what comes to your mind when you...
Anything negative.
What? Usually anything negative? Yeah, okay, that's good. So anybody else? What do you think of when you think about the world? What do you think about the world system? What is that system?
Buying and selling.
Anything we buy and sell, that's what?
Governments,
politics. What are other things that would be involved with the world system?
Okay,
world religions, the world church. There is such a thing as the world church. It's not the body of Christ, but there is such a thing as the world church organization that, you know, I don't really know what qualifies you to become a member of that, but it's not talking about necessarily the body of Christ. And when we think about overcoming the world, now I want you to notice this. Notice what it says: "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And when we think about the whatsoever that it's talking about there, it is not a person. Now notice it didn't say whosoever. Look at your Bible there. If you don't have one, you need to look at that. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." It's not talking about a person, but it's talking about the power of God. It's not talking about the man. See, can anybody tell me why it's not talking about a person there? I mean, we know. Now, he does refer to people that are born of God, but when he says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith," the whatsoever that he's talking about there is whatsoever is born of God's power. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Why didn't he say a whosoever at that point right there? Why do you think he didn't say whosoever is born of God overcomes the world? Why didn't he say that? Okay. Right. Because see, he's not looking at sooner we realize this, the sooner we'll be better off. We cannot overcome the world in our own ability.
That's right.
You know, this is not something where it's talking about a person. This is talking about the power of God that causes us to be recreated. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatsoever is born of the power of God. You do understand that that could be a vision. That could be a dream. That could be, there are marriages that are born of God. There's things in life all the time that are born of God. You have to understand, it's not necessarily talking about a person. And the reason I want to emphasize that is if we focus on the person, we're going to miss the power. Because as a person, oftentimes we fail the power of God. We fail to receive, we fail to walk in, we fail to exhibit, we fail to believe in it. We fail in a lot of ways to participate in the power of God. But if whatsoever is born of God, not a whosoever, but a whatsoever. Now hear what I'm saying in this. If you are a whosoever that falls under the whatsoever, you are born of God. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. See that whatever falls under that category could be a global vision to feed hungry people. Whatsoever is born of God. There's a lot of things that are born of God. Like it could be a ranch up in Allgood that helps little children ride horses and train them with handicaps. See, whatsoever is born of God. But the whosoevers that are under the whatsoevers overcome the world too. Now, it's really important for us to see that because where the dividing line of this comes from, what makes it able to divide it is not every good thing is born of God.
That's right.
Did you know that? There's a lot of good things that might be good, but they're not necessarily born of God. Mm-hmm. And where it falls into the three main things that he's talking about here in this whole chapter, and you can read it sometime. He's talking about love. He's talking about obedience. He's talking about obeying the Lord. He's talking about obeying what the word of the Lord says. You know, he's talking about the fact that we are born of God. We are commanded to love. We are commanded to walk in the love commandment. He's not just talking about something here that's a good idea. It may even appear to be godly. There's a lot of things that are good that aren't God. Okay? Now, let me ask you this question. And Ed, I'll get to you in just a second. Let me ask you this question. Why do you think it is that we guard our hearts against things that are good but they aren't God? Why is it that we, as believers... Yes, Ellie?
Because we can get deceived and drawn away from the things of God by focusing on the good.
Right. Okay, that's good. You remember the story of the seven sons of Sceva? You remember that story? And that story is in the Bible where Paul cast the devil out of a man and they saw him do that. And so they attempted to cast the devil out of a guy because they saw that it was something good and they wanted to do it, but it wasn't born of God. They said, in the name of Jesus of whom Paul preaches, I adjure you to come out of the man. And when they did, the devil jumped on them and it leaped on them. And this is what life will do to you when you want to do something good that's not God. The devil leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, and run them off. You see what I'm saying? They said, we're doing this in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Now, you remember we've been talking about on Sundays, what's the most important question that'll ever be asked you? You remember? Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? That's the question. Yes, Ed, we'll get to you.
Well, this, by becoming a Christian, we get away from being worried.
Okay, that's right. That is the initial new birth. That is when the whosoevers fall under the whatsoever. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, the reason I want us to talk about this in light of our identity. Now, let me see where I want you to turn here just a minute. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy. I want you to look at this scripture. We looked at it Sunday. I want you to see this again. Now, there are some things that we need to understand about how we overcome. And I want us to get a hold of that tonight, because he said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, right? Okay. 2 Timothy. Yeah, it is getting warm in here. Y'all can feel it. I can feel it too. People are fanning. Look at what 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, what had happened here, 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll get to that, Sally. Don't push me, okay? I want to get to that verse too, but I got some things that I'm coming up before I get to that verse. What is happening here is these Judaizers are putting Paul and his ministry team under pressure. Has anybody here ever been under pressure? And he's trying to encourage Timothy to not be ashamed of the gospel. He's trying to encourage Timothy not to be ashamed of the afflictions of the gospel. He's trying to encourage Timothy to stand in truth. He's trying to encourage Timothy to overcome. Everybody say overcome. See, he's trying to encourage Timothy. Timothy, these people are coming against you. They are saying that what we're preaching is not right. They are saying that we are preaching a gospel, but there's something that needs to be added to it. They are saying a bunch of things about me personally, Timothy. They're saying that all I'm after is to try to usurp authority over people. And they're saying that all I'm after is to try to take up offerings for people. We see that in 2 Corinthians, in the whole book of 2 Corinthians, where all the false accusations are coming against Paul, calling him a false prophet, calling him a false apostle. And he's saying even Satan can appear to you as an angel of light. So in this chapter, he's encouraging Timothy, don't let these afflictions move you. And he's telling him how. Now notice here in verse 12, he's telling him how. He says, For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now I'm telling you, I could myself personally just camp right there for about a year. You know, because the question is, what have we committed to his keeping? Okay? Everybody say, overcoming the world. In our lives, the things that we commit to the Lord, the things that we commit to his keeping, the things that we were released to him, listen to me now, are the things that are born of him. If we're trying to hold on to something so tight, it's basically saying that we really don't trust him. We really don't have faith in him to take care of it. We have to commit the keeping of everything in our lives, listen to me now, that's born of God to him. Amen. Are you with me? You know, there's a lot of things that are not born of God. There's some Ishmaels that we all can get Ishmaels. You know what I'm saying? We want to be people that are children of promise, like Isaac were, that we're looking to the promises of God. So that, listen, our identity is established in the promises of God, not just in human strength, not just in the fact that, you know, not just in the fact that we can do something. Now, there is something here that is guaranteed. There is a guarantee when something is born of God, it is victorious. No doubt about it. It will always be victorious. Now, you say, well, I don't understand what is born of God. Well, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So if we can grab a hold of this, now let me try to give you some natural illustrations here. If someone was in the army, let's just take somebody was in the army, like, you know, been in the army for 3 years and every time, you know, you're in the army, you mess up. You have to do push-ups, you know, right? Or what is it? Some of you Army guys, what are all the things you got to do when you mess up when you're in the Army? KP, push-ups. If you see an officer, what do you have to do when you see an officer? You have to salute that officer. Now, if a person is released from the Army, okay, and let's just say, Pete, you're out of the Army, right? You've been in the Army, and you, Paul, have both, okay? Now, if there was a general that walked through here, would you feel like you had, would you have to stand up and salute that general? No. But it'd be kind of bizarre if you did, since you're not under the authority of that general. Is that right? Well, see, that's what it's like with what, see, when we are born of God, we are released from the world. And the world no longer holds authority over us. We don't have to bow to it. We don't have to do push-ups to it. We don't have to salute it. We don't have to look to it, because we are not under the world's authority. We have been born of God.
Amen.
And see, that's why it's so important in our lives for us to have our identity. Let me read this to you here. Let me just read this to you. It has been said that the hardest thing in the world for a non-Christian to believe is the substitutionary death of Christ. Okay, let me read that to you again. It has been said that the hardest thing in the world for a non-Christian to believe is the substitutionary death of Christ. And I would agree. I mean, that's hard for someone that you know, just their eyes are not open to it, to believe it. That's why it takes us laboring in prayer and laboring to get people into the kingdom of God. Would you agree with that?
Yeah,
to see the Lordship of Jesus. Everybody say the Lordship of Jesus. But listen to this. But the hardest thing in the world for a Christian to believe is the substitutionary life of Christ. Let me read it to you again. It has been said that the hardest thing in the world for a non-Christian to believe is the substitutionary death of Christ. But the hardest thing in the world for a Christian to believe is the substitutionary life of Christ. We got victory over death by His death. We shall have victory in life by His life. This is what it means when it says Christ lives in me. See, you think about how hard it was for us, some of us, to believe in the substitutionary death of Jesus as our Lord. Now, what he's talking about here, what this statement is talking about, is the difference between the Lordship of Jesus and the high priestly ministry of Jesus. See, when we talk about, you have to understand something, and I want to explain this, because I think people really mess this up. When we talk about the finished work of Jesus, you have to understand, when it comes to the Lordship of Jesus, it is finished.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. If every person that's left on the face of this earth rejects Jesus, he's not going to be any more Lord or any less Lord than he is right now. After Jesus had been raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of God. Now listen to me. If no person had ever accepted him as their Lord and Savior, it's not going to take away from the fact that Jesus is Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
Are you with me on that?
Yes.
See, we've got to get that settled, because until we get that settled, we really think we are really doing something if we get people to receive Jesus as Lord, not in the light of what it is, but in the light of our self-centeredness. I hope that you heard me right in that. You understand that God wants people saved a whole lot more than we do. And if we're not careful, we begin to make that something about our glamour rather than the Lordship of Jesus. Are you with me now? Now, the Lordship of Jesus is Lord. He's not going to be more Lord if more people receive Him. If every person on the face of this earth goes to hell, Jesus is not going to be any more Lord than He is right now.
Amen.
Now, God forbid, we don't want that. We want every person to be born again.
Amen.
The Father said He's not willing that any should perish. But see, until we get this settled in our hearts, we're not going to really understand the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Eventually, every knee will bow to Jesus and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That doesn't mean in submission to Him, because hell's going to give them up and they're going to bow their knee that Jesus is Lord. But that does not mean they're going to be born again. That just means they're acknowledging it. That doesn't mean they're submitting to it. Are you with me on that? Because there's people that teach that hell's going to be cleaned out and every knee is going to bow to Jesus and they're going to be, He's going to be their Lord. No. It's too late. You understand what I'm saying? You reject Jesus, you die, you go to hell. And when hell gives up, and hell will give it up, but every knee bows and confesses that Jesus is Lord, that's an acknowledgement. That's not a submission to it. Are you with me now? I hope you can get a hold of that. Because that false doctrine, folks, I'm telling you, it's sweeping around. It's just pushing around everywhere. And that's the doctrine of ultimate reconciliation. You know, that everything is going to come to subjection to the Father. Well, it is. Everything is going to come in subjection to the Father. But there's going to be a whole lot of people that have rejected Jesus that are going to be where the Father wants them to be. Are you with me on that? Now, Jesus is Lord. Everybody say it.
Jesus is Lord.
See, what I'm saying here is, John's Gospel, the first chapter, the 12th verse says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you become a son of God, then you're born of God. Would you agree to that? Amen. You're born of God. Now, when we talk about the Lordship of Jesus, you have to understand it is a finished work. It's done. Jesus is not going to be any more Lord. He is Lord, and I'm telling you, He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You with me? But let me say this now. Catch a hold of this, everybody. Catch a hold of this. I can't tell you how important this statement I'm about to make is. I hope you can get it. Punch your neighbor. Say, right now is not the time to go to sleep. Bruce, punch yourself. Beth, punch yourself. Say, right now is not the time to go to sleep. The Lordship of Jesus is finished in legal practice. His high priestly ministry is not finished. Jesus is the high priest of your profession and my profession. Jesus is the high priest of what is born of God on this earth. Jesus is the high priest of what we do in this life. What we do. Not what he's done, but he is the high priest over what we do. Are you with me? Huge difference in the Lordship of Jesus and the high priestly ministry of Jesus. Big, big difference in that. And you need to get a hold of that. Because you need to understand, every time something negative comes out of your mouth, Hebrews chapter 3 says, Jesus is the high priest of our profession. You can take that word profession and it means confession. He's the high priest over what we're saying with our mouths. He's the high priest over our attitudes. He's the high priest over our reverence to God. He's the high priest over our submission to God. He's the high priest over our finances. He's the high priest over everything that we do in life. And two of the things that people mix up the most in regard to Christendom, I'm convinced, is this statement right here. After we've accepted the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus, we also need to accept the life of Jesus. Jesus is alive today, ministering before the throne of God for us. That is what he's talking about here when he's talking about this is the victory that overcomes the world. That's our faith. Our faith in what? No, listen, it's not just our faith in the Lordship of Jesus. If you're a Christian, you've already exercised faith in the Lordship of Jesus. It's our faith in the high priestly ministry of Jesus. What is Jesus doing right before the throne of God today? He is operating in his high priestly ministry. He's operating and administrating the church. He's operating in the way the church is orchestrated, offices in the church. He's operating in the way that things are going in regard to the church. He's the high priest over the body of Christ. See, I hope you can see this. Now, that being said, if Paul and Pete are not, you know, let's say Paul and Pete, the general comes through, and you're no longer having to salute the general. Why are you no longer having to salute the general? Why are you no longer having to?
That's a good authority. He's not.
Let's say the general is the world.
Right.
You're of another. You're out of that picture. Like Ed was saying, you're out of the control of that military function system. That's a good word, Pete. That military system. If you were in the military and you got out of the military, you were discharged out of the military, you no longer are subject to that system. The day you were born of God, you are no longer subject to the world system. No longer subject to the world system. The only way we become subject to the world system is if we yield ourselves to it. If we yield ourselves to it. And when we yield ourselves to the world system, we're moving out of yielding ourselves to the high priestly ministry of Jesus. You can be a born-again believer, die and go to heaven, and never in your lifetime yield to the high priestly ministry of Jesus. You know how I know that? I mean, there's a lot of people that are born again right now that are not yielding to the high priestly ministry of Jesus. Jesus has a high priestly ministry right now that he's desiring for us to yield to. You say, what? How can you tell if you're yielding to the high priestly ministry of Jesus? Well, number one, this is how you operate this overcoming faith that I'm talking about. You understand your position in him. Now, somebody tell me, what is your position? Not when you die and go to heaven, but right now. Tell me, what is your position right now, this moment, in Christ Jesus? Righteous. What's your what?
Righteous.
You're righteous? What else?
As he is, so I am.
Now, can y'all, let's do this. Let's slow down here just a minute. Find those scriptures. We're going to look at those scriptures, okay? Somebody else, if you got a, somebody else, tell me, who are we right now? What is your position in Christ Jesus right now?
We're the righteous of God.
Okay. We were looking up that scripture. You getting that scripture, Kim?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Pete. All right, now where is that scripture, Pete? Can you look it up? Look it up. Let's give them just a minute. Yeah, honey.
I am Christ's friend, John 15:15.
Okay, let's look at that. John 15:15. Look at that. We're going to look at these because we need to recognize. Everybody say, this is right now. John 15:15 says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends. For all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. All right? All right, Sally, did you get that scripture?
Yes, 1 John 4,
7. Okay, wait just a minute. 1 John, let's look at it. 1 John. Now, I'm telling you, if you want something that will spin your head around, you look at this scripture. Okay, 1 John 4, what, Sally?
17.
1 John, everybody get there now if you don't have a Bible. There's one there on the seat in front of you. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. All right, Sally, read that for us.
Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
All right. Now, I'm telling you, if you want something to meditate on and to think about, you think about that scripture. As he is, so are we in this world. How is he today? See, how is Jesus today? He's victorious. He's triumphant over the grave. You think, well, I'm not triumphant over the grave. I haven't been there yet. Whoa. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Yes, you've already been to the grave. Paul said, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Amen. See, when did we die? See, that if you can ever get that settled in your heart, you'll never be afraid of dying again. When we were crucified with Christ. And I'm telling you right now, folks, if you can ever get that settled, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is. Now you think, well, that's just not working much for me, Pastor Ron, because I'm afraid of death. I'm in lack. I've got all this stuff going on. Whoa. Now wait just a minute. How much are we identifying with the high priestly ministry of Jesus? Mm-hmm. See, we say Jesus is Lord, but have we made him Lord enough to recognize his lordship moved him over into the high priestly ministry of the church? You know what that means? That means when the Lord says, I'm desiring for you to get up and go to church today, that you obey. That means when the Lord says, I'm desiring for you to give this, or I'm desiring for you to do this for this person, or I'm desiring for you to go witness to this person, or the Lord says, I'm desiring for you to show attention to that person and love them. See, you are totally yielded to the high priestly ministry of Jesus. Yes, Ed.
Also, too, when we do this, when we pay our tithes, we're ministering to him.
You are. That's exactly right. Anytime, if you're giving tithes and offerings, if you're giving love to someone, if you're giving time, if you're taking time, taking time being a children's pastor, taking time being a youth pastor, taking time greeting at the door, listen to me now. When John or somebody comes up and says, "Will y'all help me usher today?" Let me tell you something. Be the first one to say yes. Don't ever, listen, I'm telling you, I would love to be a door greeter. I love door greeting. Door greeting is such fun to me. I just love being a door greeter. You know, I love ushering. I just love ushering. You think about ushering being such a service to people. That you're here, you're keeping order in the service. You're keeping, John, you know, not only keeps ordering the service, he keeps the building ordered. You think about what a service that is to the body. You think about what a service that is to the kingdom of God. We're not earning anything from God. We are submitting ourselves to what Jesus has already earned for us. I'm telling you, those are the things that makes us overcomers in this world. When Bronda says, "I need some help up in the children's, in the junior soul patrol." Listen, really, if you don't know the truth about it, there should be no ministry in this church that has to ask for help. You know, they teach us all in all these leadership meetings and conferences you go to how to recruit help. I'm telling you, we all ought to get up and have our hind ends busted for anybody ever trying to recruit us to help. Amen. I'm preaching good now. I'm telling you. We shouldn't have to have nobody recruit. Let me tell you something, folks. We're talking about submitting ourselves to the high priestly ministry of Jesus. We're talking about submitting ourselves to who he is as high priest. We can either choose to ignore that or we can choose to accept that. Amen. When I stand before the Lord, I don't want him to say, "You rejected my high priestly ministry." Yeah. I don't want him to say that to me. I don't want him, the fire coming out of his eyes, burning up everything I did. You know, I don't want it to be wood, hay, and stubble. We want it to be built upon that foundation, that right foundation, don't we, Peter? What he talks about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We should not have to be recruited to do anything. There should be a line of people signed up to serve. And you know what? If there are people lined up to serve in children's church in different places, it would be such an easy thing, such where there would be no person that has to be weighed down and bogged down with having to do everything. This is good preaching. Amen. This is good stuff. See, I'm talking about reverencing and respecting the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Having respect for the Lord. Recognizing that anything we're doing, whether it's, and it might, you know, it may be buying groceries for somebody. It may be seeing somebody at a restaurant and buying a meal for them. It's not just all church related. It's everything in our lives that we are seeing we are seeing something bigger here than us. Yeah. We're seeing the high priestly ministry of Jesus. Amen. Now, so Kim, did you find your scripture? Where does it say we're the righteousness of God?
2 Corinthians 5:21.
All right. Can you read that for us? Read it real loud again. Yeah, read it real loud.
God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Okay, now we're talking about our identity in him. Mm-hmm. See, our identity in him is what's going to cause us to overcome the world. Listen, the more we identify with who he is, the more our identity is in him, we're not going to be afraid of the grave. We're not going to be afraid of lack. We're not going to be afraid of serving. We're not going to be afraid of giving. Like Bruce was saying, our faith is in God. We're not going to be so afraid of what's going on in this world around us. Amen. Can y'all see this?
Yeah.
Number one, how are we going to be overcomers? Number one, we're going to understand our position. Number two, we're going to live by faith.
Yeah.
So everybody say, live by faith. Now, when we talk about live by faith, we're just simply talking about trusting God. You know, if your doctor, how many of you in here have ever been to the doctor and he gave you some pills and said, take this, take these pills this way, that. Now, did you do it? Well, if you would take the advice of a doctor, a lawyer, a firefighter, a banker, why wouldn't we take the commandment of God, the word of God, and say, you know, God, that's right. That's the way I should live.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? When we do that, when we put the word of God first place in our life, We are living by faith.
Amen.
We're living by faith when we put the Word of God first place. See, I think here's what I think. I think people have been so religiously brainwashed and so condemned that a lot of times they've tried to live under, they've tried to live for God under that condemnation. Listen, God did not call you to follow Him out of condemnation. He called you to follow Him because you see such a benefit in His high priestly ministry that you couldn't reject it for anything.
Amen.
You see such a benefit in Jesus. What I mean by His, y'all understand what I mean by His high priestly ministry? See, His high priestly ministry is over the offices of the church. He puts pastors, prophets, evangelists, apostles, and teachers over the church and directs them on how to teach the church for what He wants the church to get. That's one office. That's one of His operations. Another operation, I think somebody mentioned it, as our high priest, every time you give an offering in the church, every time you bless a poor person, you give alms to poor people, every time you do something, you know what the Lord, as your high priest does? He takes that in the presence of God and says, this is what they're doing in My name. He's worshiping God with what we do. I want Him to have His hands so full of us worshiping God, He just keeps taking it in the throne room. He just keeps taking it in the throne. And I'm not talking about works here, folks. I'm not talking about earning anything. We're not earning. We are appropriating what He's already earned. Do y'all see what I'm saying? We're appropriating what He has already done. So don't get that mentality, because you get that mentality, you lose the whole heart of His high priestly ministry. His high priestly ministry doesn't only consist of what we do for Him, what offerings and that. It consists of Him. Listen to me now. Everybody say, I'm listening. Don't go to sleep now either. This is so important. It's not only what we do for Him, but it's whether or not we will receive the beckoning of the Holy Ghost when He sends the Holy Ghost to us to comfort us, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. Have you ever heard the Holy Ghost when you were talking say, don't say that? Have you ever heard, you know, I was thinking about this today. Think about this with me now for just a minute. You know, the Holy Ghost will woo somebody to get them born again for years and years and years. And He'll send laborers across their path. He'll send people across their path. I mean, He will do everything He can. I'm convinced that there's no person that's ever gone to hell that God just didn't try everything He could to get them born again, to get them to receive Him. Think about how precious the Holy Ghost is and how gentle He is and how good He is. And then you think about the Holy Ghost speaking to us and saying, Pastor Ron, don't say that now. Or Pastor Ron, you know, I want you to go see about this person. And that gentleness, how precious the Holy Ghost is, how sweet He is. You have to understand. Now listen to me. Jesus is the high priest of that ministry. If we're yielding to the high priestly ministry of Jesus, it gives Him room to have the Holy Spirit to speak directives into our life. Directives. I can't tell you how precious. Can y'all feel it? Can you feel it right now, how precious the Holy Ghost is, how precious in His directives they are? I've had Him give me directives about our children that, you know, you wouldn't have never known if the Holy Ghost didn't show you. I remember one time I was associate pastor at a church, and there's a big issue that happened in the youth room. And I was praying, and the Holy Spirit showed me exactly what was wrong, that one of the helpers was jealous of another helper. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, and I went to the pastor and I said, I think I have a word. I think this is the Lord, that these two helpers are bickering and they're jealous about each other, working with our youth pastor, and we need to correct that. And he said, I don't really think that's what it is, but I'll pray about it. Well, it got worse. And finally, he had them all in and talked with them, and that's exactly what it turned out to be. And we were able to help them. You see what I'm saying? Y'all know Christians are people, right? Christians are people. They have problems too. Now, real quickly in closing, number one, understand our position. Number two, we live by faith. How many of you know that struggles that we go through don't defeat us?
That's right.
2 Corinthians 4:8, Paul was talking about, he says, I'm pressed. Everything's happened to me. I'm pressed out of measure. But you know what? He said, none of these, he said, I count my, not my life dear unto myself. That's what he said. Struggles don't defeat us. Number three, look past the present. How many know we got to look past the present? You know what I mean? Y'all remember in high school when you just couldn't wait to get out of high school? You just couldn't wait, you just couldn't wait, just couldn't wait. And then when you got out, what'd you do? Just couldn't wait, just couldn't wait, just couldn't wait. Then when that happened, you just couldn't wait, just couldn't wait. Y'all remember that? See, what we need to do is recognize where we are. I'm talking about how to operate in this overcoming faith, okay? Whatsoever is born of God. Now, if we're born of God, we're going to identify with Him. We're going to take His advice. Can you say amen? And we're going to look past the present. Without a vision, the people perish. See, can I tell y'all some of my vision? Like my vision, I want to have a full-time children's pastor. I want to have a full-time youth pastor. I want to have, I want to get back on television. We've got to get back on television. I know that we've got to get back on television. And I want y'all to pray with me about that. You know, it's $800 a month. We could have, what is that? 8 people doing $100 a month, 16 people doing $50 a month, 32 people doing $25 a month, and we could do it. Boy, that was good. I couldn't do that back in my office. That had to be the Lord. You know, I was trying to think about that. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? We can do it. It won't be hard to do it. See, those are visions. See, folks, we cannot. Look, I am so blessed that we're all here. I can't tell you how blessed I'm. We're all here. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad you're here? I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad. But folks, you got to understand something. And it's not a matter to me of having this big, large number as it is of reaching people. You know what? If it's 10,000, let's reach them. It's not a magic number for me. It's us being so busy about the Father's business with our lives that we're offering up our lives to the high priestly ministry of Jesus. We're recognizing His Lordship through that. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Stand up with me. I promised to get you out a little early, folks, kids. Father, we love You tonight. Come on, lift up your hands and let's thank Him for His word. Oh, Father, let's do this. Let's thank the Lord for the high priestly ministry of Jesus. Thank Him for that ministry right now. And you know what I want us all to do? Let's just say this outside. Say, Father, I yield myself to the high priestly ministry of Jesus. I recognize that Jesus is Lord. But I also receive Him as my high priest. Now.